Okay. One little note before we get started is Tom sends his blessings to everyone. They worked hard this week, and well, you couldn't tell by the pictures, but yeah. But I just got some this morning. But anyway, so he wishes he could be here, and he sends his blessing, him and Cornelia, to each and every one of you. So, okay, what I have here, when I get to the message, this is going to be some scripture references, but last time that I was up here last week, I said that I was going to do a little demonstration of nursery time versus nursing home. So, this is actually just a parody of how some congregations are conducted. And I'm not referring to any particular assembly. But anyway, let's just say you go to one of the congregations and they are going to teach you nursery style. Okay, so you got to play along with this now. Now, one day, Moses was out shepherding his flock. He saw a fire in a bush. How hot was the fire? And your reply, really hot. Okay. Now, God told Moses to walk all the way back to Egypt and to talk to Pharaoh. How far was it? Really far. Okay. Now, Pharaoh made slaves of the Israelites because he was mean. How mean?
Really mean.
Really mean. When Moses told Pharaoh to let the people go, he got mad. How mad? That's right. So when Pharaoh said no, this made everyone sad. How sad? Pharaoh made the work harder, which was bad, which was
really bad.
Okay. So, I would explain more about all this stuff, but you wouldn't understand. Okay. So. So, basically, it's kept really simple. All right, now, you may go to another place, and they kind of run the place like a nursing home. So, this is how it would be. All right, on the back of everyone's bulletin, there's a bingo card. As I go through the message, I will call out the numbers. That's one way to keep people awake, all right? All right. So here we go. God wants to send Moses back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And I would explain this, but we don't have enough time. All right, back to the story. Moses refuses. Oh, just a minute. Number B-52. Okay, so Moses refuses and says no because he can't remember how to get back there and he forgot where he left his shoes. Another number, N-9. Okay. Also, Moses says, I can't speak well because of these bad-fitting dentures. Okay. Another number? Something everybody likes. O2. In fact, that might be a free one on everybody's. And the other thing, too, is Moses thinks he's hallucinating because he saw a bush that was on fire and it refuses to burn. I-15. Okay. Well, let's see if we got another bingo here. God doesn't take no for an answer and agrees to send Elijah with Moses back to Egypt. And I'd explain more about this, but we don't have enough time. I-10. Okay. So is either of those styles really conducive for building a disciple of the Holy One? No. So when you're here, Tom's really interested in developing discipleships, not trying to keep us awake for an hour or half hour, whatever. So anyway, that concludes our parody. Last week, I was talking about names, because our Torah portion is Exodus, which means names, shmot, names. And we talked about how important names are. We're going to go into a little bit more of names. We discussed previously that names given through our parents, for the most part, were not accidental, and they weren't coincidental. Actually, it was a team effort between the parents and the Almighty to come up with your name. Mainly it was mainly him. So names can be prophetic. And in Elohim's case, the names come before what is said comes into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. He didn't have to look at something and then name it. In Elohim's perspective, he names things, and that name is created what he named it. Pretty cool, huh? So, Genesis 2, 19 through 20. Let's talk about Adam's first day on the job. Okay, starting with verse 19 in chapter 2. And this is from the ESV. "Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper for him." Okay. Now let's turn aside and peruse this section. Or just let's look at it. Here's what I can see. Here is the Father. And he's got Adam. And he brings all these animals to Adam. And he says, name them, and whatever their name is, that's what it's going to be. The Father gave him authority to name the animals, and he delegated that authority and didn't interfere with it. Because it says, whatever he named them, that's what the name was. Now let's look at it from another perspective. All the animals were summoned by the Father to appear before Adam. Isn't it like the Father was saying to all the animals, meet your king? Can I have some water, please? Grab my water. So not only was Adam sitting up there naming them, but the animals were actually meeting and being acquainted with their new ruler. Pretty cool, huh? Sort of like the Lion King. Okay. So whenever you approach a piece of scripture, and it's like Moses. He The burning bush was not in front of him. It was off to the side. It says that he had to turn aside, and he says, I'm going to look into this matter. One of the things that helps us with Scripture is to develop a curiosity about what it is saying. When you have a curiosity, then things start to open up with a certain question here, a certain question there. So, what I see right there is not only was their names being given, but we see the authority structure being set up. So we see names and authority in the same context. Names being given and authority being delegated. So, and I think it's kind of neat. Adam was given the chore to name him, and the father just sat back and didn't say a word and let him have fun doing the naming. Okay, we see that in the names. But with the father's authority, when he delegates it, you're going to have to give an account later on, but during the time, he's not there micromanaging. However, he's there when you call for help. Don't get me wrong. So anyway, we read a little bit longer and or further, and we find out that it's not good for the man to be alone. The Almighty said that. So I remember this old movie. It was a Tom Hanks movie, Castaway. Does anybody remember that one? It's a story. Who doesn't know anything about Castaway? Okay. Basically, it was a pilot, worked for FedEx. They were delivering packages. The plane crashes. He's the only survivor. He's on an island. He's there for I don't know how many years. So what he does to keep from going nuts is, you know, he's got all this floating debris around. Well, amongst the packages and amongst the debris, there's this volleyball. Well, what he does is he draws a face on the volleyball, and what does he do? He names it Wilson. Wilson, even though he was inanimate, Wilson was his partner for a long time. He protected Wilson. He talked to Wilson. He got mad at Wilson. He'd kick Wilson or punch him. But Wilson was the name of his, the only thing he had. So you see how names are very important, even if it's a volleyball. So Catherine might think about naming one of her volleyballs there. So anyway, it really helped in Tom Hanks' survival. So now I want you to think real deeply. Think deeply within yourself for the next question. Now we see that Adam named all the animals. But who, and now Eve is not here yet, okay? Don't include Eve. Who does Adam not name? Himself. He doesn't name himself. And who else does he not name? The Almighty. He didn't have the authority to name him. If you don't have the authority, you don't have the jurisdiction, right? Remember when you were a little kid and try to think way back. You remember the first time you heard somebody address one of your parents by their first name? I remember when they called my dad Bill. I'm like, what? His name's not Bill, it's Dad. And then the same with my mom. It was either Mom, or the other thing I ever heard was Babe. Yeah. So, and then when I heard that her name was Jan, I was like, I'm all confused. So what do you think Adam may have called the Holy One? I don't think he was trying to figure out his name. It was such an intimate relationship. It was Dad, or Abba. Is there anything more important than that? So, anyway, I have to say that we have a big scuttle about how to pronounce the name. First of all, is it within our jurisdiction to figure out how to really say it? But look at this. It's even worse. It's worse than that. Some say it's pronounced one way, and some say it's pronounced the other way, because they've done their study. What happens? Division. So names divide and names distinguish. Unfortunately, we who are supposed to know better are wrapped really big into it. So we got myriads of different ways that people say the name is pronounced. And if you agree with one, that's the group that you pretty much stay with. Those people, the other ones that say it a different way, they're kind of lame in the mental capacity. I mean, that's what we think. But anyway, why do you want to learn his name anyway? Why is it so important to say his name correctly? Yeah, it is important. It really is important. But we have different reasons. For one person, I want to know so that I'm right. For another person, they may say, I want to know because I want to be more personal with the Father. I want to say his name right. I don't want to butcher his name up. Well, let's look for an answer here. How did Yeshua refer to the Holy One in almost every case? The disciples asked, how are we supposed to pray? How does it open up? Our Father. He says, my Father in heaven. Our Father, the Father, over and over, he expresses the Almighty, the Creator, as Father. We don't see any disputes about how to pronounce the name. We don't have anybody that it's recorded. How do you say the name? It's not in the Scriptures. Yeshua just simply said, Father. That's probably the same thing Adam said, Father. But let's look again. Even the Father, when people would hear the Father's voice concerning Yeshua, what did we hear the Father refer to him as? The Son. This is whom I'm well pleased with. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So we don't see any discussions on his name, even though his name is written a lot of times. But as far as the relationship between the Almighty, the Holy One, and Yeshua, it was Father, my son. This is what he came to reestablish, is that intimacy. Now, we're going to see something about how important names are. We're going to see that in everyone's life, and we're going to see it in Scripture here in just a moment, that you have to have an identity, you will have a purpose, and you will have a destiny. Let's turn to Exodus 3:10. And we're going to read 10 and 11. From the ESV again. It says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Then Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Okay, verse 11. We see something here. The who am I? Then we see the mission that I should go. And then the destiny. It's not said this way. Other translations say, lead the people. So your destination, to lead the people. But we got a problem, Houston. Before we get to this problem, I want you to look at another scripture. And this is in, I think, Genesis 37. All right. Here is Jacob commissioning Joseph to go to his brothers. Okay, but notice that it says, "And Israel said to Joseph, 'Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come and I will send you to them.' And he said to him, 'Here am I.'" All right, let's look at this scripture just a little bit more. Notice that it doesn't say, "And Jacob said to Joseph." It says, "Israel said to Joseph." We're talking about Jacob's prophetic name. Okay? The phrase, this phrase that we see in both this scripture and the one I just read, it says, "Come and I will send." It's like, why don't you just say, "Go and check on your brothers"? No. In both cases, Israel says it, and the Almighty says it to Moses, "Come and I will send." Anybody ever wonder about what's going on there? Sounds like somebody can't make up their mind. But, yeah, and why do you have to come so you can go? B13. Okay. All right. Why is Joseph supposed to come and not just stand there? Think of it this way in the context. He's supposed to come to Jacob or Israel. And in so doing, he is to be prepared for his mission with provisions, with instructions, and submit to the sender's authority. Isn't that what is happening here in both cases? Israel says, "Go to your brothers." The Holy One says to Moses, "Go to your brothers," basically. So when you submit to the sender's authority, you also accept their blessing. The blessing goes with you. This, I hope, helps you in your walk. So many times we're so wrapped up on a mission, on a purpose, and we just go regardless of who's sending you. But here's something that Yosef did that Moses didn't do. Yosef's response was, "Hineni, here I am." What was Moses' response? His was, "Who am I?" Okay, this gets back to what's going on here. So we see the similarities in these two scriptures where someone is sending someone else to go check up on your brothers. No coincidence, I think. All right. Where am I here? Okay. So the Holy One is commissioning Moses for an assignment. But the computer says, or somebody says, the human is not responding properly. We're getting low Hineni. And this is going to be low Tov for Moses. That means not good. Yeah. So the Almighty has to do something before anything can. The mission is stalled, like the rocket on the launch pad. The countdown has been stalled. Why? Because Moses is in this mode. What does the Father have to do? Very good, Nathan. There has to be a transition here. That transition has to happen to each and every one of us if we're going to continue with His purpose and His destiny in our life. Who am I? Starts with your name. That's why we had, us guys, we looked up our names, found out what they meant, and found out how we got our names. Because our parents were in league with the Almighty, even if they didn't know it, to give us our names. Those names are not just a name badge. It's part of who our essence is supposed to be. These are God-given. So, the mission. Once you get going here, then the mission can start. The purpose can begin. But let's look at something. In the kingdom of light, each person, I didn't leave anybody out, each person is gifted with an identity, a purpose, and a destiny in that order. Okay? According to the Father's perspective, that's the order. You can't go unless you know who you are. Because who you are carries authority. You cannot have authority unless you are under authority. So He's setting the structure right. That is from above. But let's compare that to the kingdom of darkness. That's where one's purpose is usually aimless. Their destiny is usually consequential. Consequences of what they did. But here's the bad part. The kingdom of darkness wants to strip you of your identity. And that identity is stripped by the evil one in one way or another. So now let's look at Exodus 3:11 again, closely. How close?
Really close.
Okay, good. So here's we see that Moses' response was, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And now we see that in this course, this discourse, the juxtaposition of the I am versus the am I. So, now we see Moses is going to be put on the right track with who he is. Because the Father later on says, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to do this on your own. And then Moses has to be acquainted with the Almighty's identity in 3:13, which we said before during the Torah portion. 3:13, it says, Moses in Exodus, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Well, the reason why he's asking that question is because he doesn't know. But he gets that straight. He gets it real straight. Now, let's take things, let's bring it down to our backyard. We already said that names differentiate. All right, let's just say you or someone you know, and I've seen this a lot, because I used to work home health, and people would have a bird feeder. And there would be all these birds and squirrels coming to the bird feeder. But what do people usually do when they have a bird that frequents your bird feeder and they like them? What do they do? They give it a name. Right. But then sometimes there's the villain of the bird feeder. Yeah. And sometimes that person is, or that little creature is called meanie or glutton or, you know, something like that. It doesn't have a cute little name. So we like to give names. But let me just show you a little something. I said this is going to bring you to your backyard. Now we're going to leave the backyard. All right. Who am I? That's the question. Hopefully, you know the answer. But let's start mega. Real mega. Okay? So, the names are responsible for everything in the universe. Everything that was created has a name. Even though we don't know all the names, the Almighty has a name for everything. So, when you name something, what happens? You're more intimate with it. Just like the bird feeder. Just like the little bird that you liked. Kind of intimate with it. You give it a name. So, let's look out in the stars, in the sky. The known universe. Of all of the universe, you're going to narrow it down to try to find you. Okay. So, of all the universe, you have to differentiate the different galaxies. The Milky Way. So now, how big is the Milky Way? Okay. So now, you're in the Milky Way. How do you narrow that down a little bit more? The solar system, our solar system. Now, you got our solar system, how you narrow it down, differentiate things. Planet Earth. Now we're on planet Earth. We've come a long way from the universe to this little speck, the Earth. Now, of all the life forms on the Earth, there's the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and then there's humans. So of all the humans that we have pretty much right now, say 7 billion. 7 billion humans. Now let's distinguish further into nations, okay? So we divide the humans into nations, and now we got average of hundreds of millions of people. Now let's just single out Israel, for example. Okay, of all the nations and of all the people, now we got the nation of Israel. So now we're down to maybe some tens of millions, not just necessarily in Israel proper, but all over the world. Okay. Now, let's separate that again from the men and the women. So now, basically, you got millions of people. We started with the universe, now we're down to millions of people. Now, I know this isn't politically correct, but everybody's going to fit into one of two groups, men or women. Okay. All right. Now, so you can either separate the men or the women. I don't care which group you want to talk about. But of that group, you can separate it even further by sects. S-E-C-T-S. You can divide it by denominations or religions or something like that. So, when you divide that all up, then you get your thousands. You divide, let's just say you want to do all Baptists, for example. Okay, so now you distinguish all those Baptists into the different clubs. Well, no, let's not say Baptists. Let's just generic. You got your clubs, you got your denominations, you got your synagogues, you got your local congregations. Now you're down to hundreds. All right? We went from billions to hundreds. And let's just get this show on the road. Now there's finally one. And that one is you. That one is me. Because we have a name. If we didn't have names, we would just be like animals. When they say, oh, there's only 3,000 rhinoceroses in the world. Okay, you'd just be just like a group. But because we're down to one person, it's because you have a name. This is so marvelous that when you figure what we just went through, the entire universe down to a single person. Isn't that intimate that the Father knows your name? My name. That's great. But we also, when we look at somebody else, we have to know that they have a name. Respect them, that of all the universe, it all boils down to, it all comes down to that person too. So we're marvelously made, but also it's a wonder he can find us. It's such a big universe, but yet he counts every hair on our heads. I don't have that many to count anymore, but he still knows. Now, if you have a name, you're special. Our names outlive us. You know that. But it's only up to each and every one of us to how that name is going to be. It's called a legacy after we're gone. If you have a name, you have a purpose. I mean, you have an identity, and you have a purpose, and you have a destiny if you're in the kingdom of light. Now, there's probably some people in here, if you're not one of them, you know somebody that feels like your identity has been stripped from you. Or that your identity doesn't matter. Or you think, I have a bad identity because you don't like your name or whatever. Somehow it's perverted that you don't like your name or you don't like something about yourself. I'd like to say a prayer for us to follow along. But I want you to know that the Father is wanting to restore who we are. If this is not fixed, nothing else works right. Amen. Now, if you're one that knows who you are, but you know somebody who doesn't know who they are, please intercede for them during this prayer, okay? All right, follow after me, please. Blessed are you, O Heavenly Father, Creator of everything, even me. Who am I that you should consider me? That you wrote a book concerning me. If I should count your thoughts toward me, they would be like the sand on the seashore. Forgive me that I did not see your great love for me. And you know me by name. Restore the joy of my salvation. Restore my name and make it overcome the darkness. Change the who am I in my thoughts to who I am. Since you are for me, who can be against me? Amen. Simple, but it's serious. And Father, I just thank you on behalf of everyone that you, first of all, you are great. Your name is great. Your name is above everything. Thank you for Yeshua, our Redeemer. Thank you for our inheritance. Thank you that you've given us identity and a purpose and a destiny in you, in your will, in your kingdom, and it's an everlasting and it's an eternal destiny. We thank you, Father. Amen.